Moncrief on News Talk.
The International Rugby Museum in Limerick had a short and rather unhappy existence. It lasted less than 2 years after disappointing visitor numbers and large debts. But there's a possibility that the shuttered building might be given another use as a museum devoted to great Irish women and their stories. Dr. Sandra Collins is head of the UCD Library and former chair of the Advisory Committee on Women's Stories. Sandra, good afternoon.
Hi, Sean.
I know it's too soon to say whether it's definitely going to happen or not, but this kind of gives perhaps possible fruition to all the work you were doing on this committee.
Yeah, it's a really exciting day. The advisory committee worked for about 18 months. We were established in 2015 by Minister Catherine Martin, and we delivered our report to Minister Patrick O'Donovan just before Christmas. And I have to say, I never in my wildest dreams thought that we would be looking at the possibility of having a bricks and mortar women's museum so soon and such a fabulous building. It's really exciting news today.
And can you give us a sense of, in your report, how you would present these stories? Would there be different categories of stories?
Yeah, so what we did, we had a brilliant committee that included people from across the arts, history, the cultural institutions. So we could really think of women's stories in the broadest sense. And the sort of things, what we decided we didn't want to focus on was to pick out and venerate specific women in history, right? So you could do that. That's a really valid approach. But what we wanted to do was to be as inclusive and creative as possible. So we did a consultation then. We talked to all sorts of groups across Ireland, women's groups and much broader than that across Ireland, asking like, what sort of things would you want to see in the museum? What is missing for you in our current representation of women across Ireland and the cultural sector? And we got great input from that, like really, really deep. And, you know, sometimes people talked about the negative impact that not having women visible would have for them, and particularly underrepresented or discriminated groups of women. But what we settled on in the end is really to explore that full range of things. So it could be women writers, women artists, women in politics, women in sport, historical women figures. Like, I could go on. Any aspect of life that you can think of, women have contributed to. And it would be about, I suppose, opening up that wealth of stories and having a dedicated place where we can engage with them, people can come and enjoy them, be provoked by them, talk about them, have programming and events and talks. So the world is the oyster there, I think.
Right, so that sounds from what you're saying, there's an almost inexhaustible list of different categories of women that you could, and presumably they might be rotated around a bit. If the thing gets up and running. The stuff that would be on display, would it be your sense that a lot of this would come from the National Museum of Ireland?
When we talk to the national cultural institutions and other museums and galleries and libraries around the country, everybody has a woman's story, or they have multiple items that are really important parts of women's stories, women's history, women's art, women's writing. And so the idea is we don't need to create a new collection. So we don't need to go out and invent new things. What we can do is, if we have a space, we can borrow materials from the galleries and museums around the country and bring them together and show them off there and tell a story, public engagement, community engagement. And the other thing we discovered, like, we did a really broad consultation, I really never forget it. It's been one of the most rewarding pieces of work that I've done. But we talked to the Irish Country Women's Association. We talked to the LGBTQ+ Youth Ireland. We talked to disabled artists. So there are community groups and activist groups that have have really powerful stories to tell that mightn't already be in a national cultural institution. And this would be a wonderful opportunity to get the community to bring in their material that tells stories of women in their community or in their sector, and to be able to tell a richer story by bringing it all together.
Right,
so
okay.
The women are there, Sean. It's just they aren't always visible. So yeah. This gives an opportunity to make them visible.
In the museums we have already, would it still be the case that women aren't as visible as they should be in those existing institutions?
So that's right. So we talk to an awful lot of our national cultural institutions and regional museums and libraries and galleries and so on. And everybody has some great idea for something they want to do with the parts of their work that relates to women. But it all needs funding and support and resources. So there's a lot of, great ideas, great creativity, some really wonderful examples. So, for example, we talked to the National Gallery of Ireland, and last year they had the Women Impressionists exhibition, and that was a blockbuster. So people were was sold out, and people were trying to get in to see that exhibition. That's a wonderful example of something that can be done. And if we can have a permanent space where we can really work through, you know, you could have decades in a permanent space to tell all the stories, all the different aspects. So it's really exciting. Mm. So I think there's a lot of goodwill, there's a lot of support, there's some really fabulous items in the national collections, in regional collections, and this just gives us a new opportunity to bring them together and to raise it up a level. Because, like, Sean, what we saw is, if you think of things like Waking the Feminists, for example, if we think of, a figure I saw from the UK National Gallery, that less than 1% of the objects in the permanent collection are created by women. You know yourself, in Dublin City, there's a tiny percentage of streets that are named after women. So the Royal Hibernian Academy, they told us it took a century to elect the first woman artist to the Academy, and it took another century to have the first woman president. So,
well, they didn't want to rush into anything, I suppose.
Exactly. So this, I guess what I found really exciting about this announcement from the Minister for Culture today is we might not need to. We would be able to rush into something. This is a real, like, a jump ahead on a process that otherwise, you know, in presenting the recommendations to the minister, he seemed really engaged with them. I felt really optimistic, but even so, you could wait decades to see a new museum come to life. Mm-hmm. So I think this is an element of the stars aligning with this opportunity and this fabulous building in Limerick, and this recommendation to create a women's museum waiting for a home.
Is there a danger, though, that once you've established a women's museum, that perhaps other cultural institutions will go, well, we don't have to try that hard now because there's the women's museum, and perhaps the other museums turn into the men's museums?
Okay. The committee, we had 18 months to work through this, really broad consultation. We did a scan of the international landscape, the national landscape. So really, there's a huge amount of work that went into coming to this recommendation. And I think what we would say is there are so many ideas and opportunities across the country in the local, regional, national museums, galleries, libraries, arts organisations, theatres, concert halls, that I don't think we would take anything from all that creativity and goodwill. And if the Women's Museum really raises up this conversation in visibility, you know, in national engagement, then maybe it also will help us achieve the other recommendations of the advisory committee, which is to support our local, regional, national museums, galleries in order to do this work. So like there's a load of ideas, there's a load of really fabulous collections and programming and theatre and film. Like Ireland is like absolutely buzzing at the moment. So this doesn't need to take from anybody else. It might just unlock and raise the awareness and the value of telling women's stories.
You did look at other similar projects in other countries, such as in Scotland and in Vietnam. What did they do that was so striking to you?
Yeah, so Ali Curran and CHL Associates did a really thorough piece of research for us, and they looked across the international, European, American, like really scanned the world for examples. So we wouldn't be the first women's museum by any shot, but having the state endorsement, like having it set up by the Department of Culture, that would be a really, really strong statement. And that would be like really the exemplary approach that we saw when we looked internationally. So often what happens is it's a grassroots organisation. Maybe it's a local activist group, and they get a women's organisation of some form. It might be a library or a museum or an archive or a collection or an art centre, and they get it set up, but it often is very precarious. So without that state support, it can live from hand to mouth, as it were.
Yeah.
And then, as you mentioned, there's a great example. We love the example of the Women's Library in Glasgow, and you won't be surprised to hear, of course, that the Scandinavian countries have really good examples. And then I suppose something we'd worry about is with the changing policy and ideology in some countries, you know, a pull back from equality and diversity and inclusiveness, that might make things even more precarious. So we had like what I hope will be one of the flagship examples in the world would be the Smithsonian American Women's History Museum, and we really, you know, hope that that can keep going in the context of changing political ideology and so on. So I'm really proud if we can get this going in Ireland. I would be so proud.
If it gets going, it would be part of the National Museum of Ireland. So one assumes that entrance would be free.
I think so, exactly. So that was a really, really welcome piece of news this morning as well, because I think the National Museum has an outstanding track record. As you say, the access to the permanent collections is free. They are welcoming to everybody. So that ethos really matches with the inclusivity and the sense of bringing in underrepresented groups and, you know, co-curating with them, working with local communities. And that we thought that was a really important aspect of establishing and telling women's stories. So that's fabulous news.
Yeah. A few of our listeners, Sandra, are texting in to say it's sexist. I'm guessing they're men,
course.
Sandra.
Well, you never know. I mean, these things always cause a great debate. And like, if we are having a discussion about it, brilliant. My own view, like as we started working with the committee, we worked with a blank page. We could have landed with any suite of recommendations. And we took a really broad approach. So in listening and consulting and looking nationally, internationally, we were very guided in this. It's a very measured approach. So we can clearly see the impact of discrimination and underrepresentation. And this is an initiative that would bring some, equality and inclusivity back to the table. So I think it's a fabulous initiative, and it includes a broad suite of things things, like these structural inequalities, how difficult it is for women to contribute to the arts, all the caring responsibilities. Look, I could spend ages talking here, Sean, and yes. I don't need to convince you. Yeah. But I completely understand why someone could say it's sexist and somebody could say, where is the men's museum? And I suppose in working through all our research and consultation, in the end, we thought, look, this is what is needed. There are men's museums. If I could ask you now, a little Google, how many museums are there in Ireland celebrating male historical figures? And you
all of them?
Very long list.
Yeah. Sandra, thank you very much for speaking with us today. That would be Dr. Sandra Collins there, head of the UCD Library and former chair of the Advisory Committee on Women's Stories.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.